Let me say good morning to everybody and happy Sabbath. Good morning. How are you doing? I think that everybody has been blessed the whole week. One reason is that you're still alive. Another reason that you can come here to worship God. And I feel like everybody is blessed more than we deserve. So we need to be thankful to God. It's a privilege to be preaching today, to be, I would say, the mouth of God today, to talk to the church and to my friends online, to our friends online. I'm praying that the message will be heard and that everybody will understand it. Because the reason of the message is to help everybody become a better worshiper of God. So as I will get into the message, let us bow our heads for a short prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm going to be talking. I want to be erased completely so that you can appear, that your children may see you, that your children may hear your voice, and that your children may understand in practice. Please have mercy upon us, upon those who are following online, upon your church all across the world. Give us your Holy Spirit to guide us and to give us the character of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. As you may know, the title of my message is A Worship Experience in Heaven. I hope that everybody knows what is a worship experience. That's exactly what we're doing right now. There is a plethora of topics that can be talked about or developed when, as a people living the last days, we want spiritual food in due season, or when we talk about timely messages or end-time messages. Among these are Babylon is falling, or the fall of Babylon. The deadly wound is healing. Country living. The heavenly sanctuary. The millennium. The seven last plagues. The two beasts of Revelation 13. The mark of the beast. The investigative judgment. Coronavirus and its connections to Sunday law. The seal of God, the Ten Commandments, the diet reform, the second coming, etc. Today, the topic, as you know, is a worship experience in heaven. Revelation 18 describes the fall of Babylon due to the collapse of the false doctrines making up its spiritual foundations. Remember that the fall of Babylon is multiform: spiritual fall, physical fall, social or political fall. Remember as well how the ancient Babel Tower fell. It was God confusing the builder's language, breaking it up onto multiple languages. Why? They have decided to create that tower to prevent their destruction by another divine flood, but still they refuse to serve their creator, and they threw themselves into idolatry. Nowadays, history repeats itself. The Great Reset, the last encyclical of Pope Francis, Fratelli Tutti, the Green New Deal, the climate change agenda, one world government, and many others are as many efforts put forth to reconstruct the Babel Tower. but this time for a better and everlasting destruction. The thing with Babylon is that it becomes the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, Revelation 18, verse 2. Idolatry will always lead to that terrible spiritual condition. Look, Babylon is in Daniel's time was also an idolatrous city as previously. The king who took himself as the head of state and church, as does the Pope since the creation of papacy, the Pope hold two scepters, political and religious. Nebuchadnezzar has erected a golden image and made mandatory that all his great invited to its dedication should bow down before it. Upon hearing the sounds of musical instruments. But except for three young true believers of the Most High, all bow down. By the way, nothing says that other Jews were present. The Bible says that those who were there and invited were the high rankings of the kingdom, not everyone. Therefore, we cannot assume other Jews were in the dedication of the golden statue. Because of idolatry, brothers and sisters, and its final consequences upon Babylon, knowing that he has a multitude of his children in it, God asked them to come out of it before it falls. Because as it was for the Babel Tower, so will it be for our contemporary Babylon. Its sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Revelation 18, verse 5. The consequences of her idolatry are that she will receive the seven last plagues, her destruction, and finally the lake of fire after the millennium. In verse 20 of the said chapter, Revelation 18, we read, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. The final destruction of Babylon is the beginning of our joy. Let me repeat that one more time. The final destruction of Babylon is the beginning of our joy. And also that the only apostles and the holy apostles and prophets, not just us, but the apostles and prophets will be in joy when Babylon will be completely destroyed. In verse 22, you see that Babylon had always been using music to seduce the attendees, but this time the musicians will stop enchanting people. The verse says, "And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee." That was the first worship, as that of the time of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All kind of instruments, Some of our churches are trying to catch up with Babylon in using different types of music instruments in their worship service. One day, as it will be for Babylon, God will stop their enchantment and their mesmerism of the superficial Christians attending their so-called worship and praise. Before I move forward, I need you to notice a very important thing in Daniel chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. Please go with me to Daniel chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. Daniel chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. It says, "Then an herald cried aloud, 'To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages,'" verse 5, "'that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down,'" that's a command, "'and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up.'" Verse 6, "'And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast out, be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace.'" Verse 7, "'Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kind of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up.'" That was the ecumenism by excellence. All kind of music, voodoo, salsa, rock, jazz, pop, rap, heavy metal, R&B, soul, soft rock, folk, country, techno, kempas, reggae, contemporary music, gospel, spiritual, hymns, Christian songs, so on and so forth. All kind of music. A mingling of all kind of music. The Hindu music, the Muslim music, the Orthodox music, enough to confound everyone, to have them lose their reasoning power. All kind of music, all kind of noises, to confound and to have people lose their reasoning power. I want to inform you that most music genres here are founded on the voodoo. All kind of music, rap, jazz, salsa, pop music, heavy metals, R&B, soft rock, folk, country, techno, compass, reggae, contemporary music, some gospel, all kind of music. Those worldly music have to base voodoo. The voodoo has its origin from many African tribes' rituals serving false god, evil spirit of the dead. Remember those who participate in the ecumenism will find themselves obligated to worship these evil spirits. Also, in this text we read, there are six different types of instruments: cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer. Those kind of music mixed with six different of instrument create what Pen of Inspiration calls bedlam or carnival. Bedlam or carnival. Let us read more on that in Selected Message, Volume 2, page 36 and page 38. A bedlam of noise shocks the senses and perverts that which, if conducted right, might be a blessing. The powers of satanic agencies blend with the din and noise to have a carnival, and this is termed the Holy Spirit's working. Those things which have been in the past will be in the future. Satan will make music a snare by the way in which it is conducted. Notice that Sister White wrote this passage in 1900. She said that those things which have been in the past will be in the future. Are we not in that future she was talking about? Of course we are. Go to the majority of our churches, whether it be African-American churches, Caucasian churches, Asian churches, Latino churches. Go to Andrews University, to Oakwood University, and almost all of them. If you do not hear all, you will hear at least two genres, of which is a pagan music. They do not use just one genre, but several ones in their adoration or worship service. Unfortunately, as Pen of Inspiration describes it, the powers of satanic agencies blend with din and noise to have a carnival, and this is termed the Holy Spirit workings. And then she said, Satan will make music a snare by the way in which it is conducted. If these people do not see the sad side of prophecy fulfilling on them, that should be the saddest thing ever. Sister White urges, let us give no place to strange exercisings which really take the mind away from the deep movings of the Holy Spirit. God's work is ever characterized by calmness and dignity. That's why I like my church, Elmira Seventh-day Adventist Church. Our worship experience is characterized by calmness and dignity. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sister, for the way you play the organ or the piano. It doesn't mean we cannot sing a little bit louder, because we're not dying. You see what I'm saying? But most churches, whether it be African-American churches, Caucasian churches, Latino churches, Asian churches, wherever you go, you will find kind of like voodoo mixed with spiritual song to seduce the superficial attendees. In Revelation 19, we now see a better, holy, and complete worship service. This time in heaven, with the saved of all times. In verse 1, the prophet has recorded for us some of the words of the songs that will be sung. Revelation 19, verse 1. Let's go to Revelation, my brothers and my sisters. Are you there yet? All right. It says, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people where? In heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Here it is not so much about the music instruments. In a noisy and confounding sound, but in one and harmonious voice of all the saved singing to the glory of the Lord. The theme was Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. In the ecumenism, they may be talking about Pope Francis, Pope John Paul II, or Paul Benedict. But here we are calling unto the name of the Lord. We are worshiping the Lord. What is one great reason given by the saved for worshiping God at that time? Verse 2, Revelation 13, verse 2. For true and 19, Revelation 19, verse 2. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great war. How do you call it? Whore. The great whore. God has judged whom? The great whore. Which did corrupt the earth. With what? Her fornication. And hath avenged the blood of his servant at her hand. Who is that great whore? The one which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. If we were to go back to Revelation 14 and Revelation 18, the answer is none other than Babylon. Let me recall you that Babylon has always been the head of many states. Like in the time of Nebuchadnezzar and after. And also in the time of Nimrod, the builder of the tower. The builders of the Babel Tower wanted to form one world government. Let me repeat that. The builders of the Babel Tower wanted to form one world government. They did not want a divided world into many different nations, peoples, tribes, and languages as God wants it to be. They did not want to be scattered all across the world. Let me tell you that it is exactly what the new Nimrod wants to establish one more time. Pope Francis, as the popes before him, wants one world government, one world religion. That is what the Great Reset is all about. That is what the Great Reset is all about. That is what the new creation of the Pope is all about. That is why he met with the great of the earth about a month ago. But I want to recall you that as the builders of the tower were almost finished with their project, God descended and confounded their language. They did not want to scatter all over. That is exactly what happened to them. God scattered them all over because they were not able to understand each other's tongue. Likewise, I have the profound sense that as these people will think that their project is about to be reached, the Almighty will intervene. Likewise, the spiritual Babylon has the whole earth and the merchants of the world, its kings, etc., to bow down before him. But doing so, they are truly worshiping the dragon. Let's go to Revelation 13, verses 4 to 8. Revelation 13, verses 4 and 8. What does it say? And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. So if someone is worshiping the beast, who is he worshiping actually? The dragon. Who is the dragon? Satan. So by worshiping or by being in ecumenism, you are worshiping not God, not even the Pope, but Satan. And they say, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, the dragon, whose name are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That means those whose name have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb will worship the beast, will worship the dragon. This same worship experience has counted, I'm talking about the worship of the Lord, has counted among the worshipers the 144,000. Let's go read Revelation 14, verses 1 to 4. Revelation 14, verses 1 to 4. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, or Zion, and with him 144,000. Having what? His father's name written in their foreheads. Verse 2. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. Okay. Notice some important thing. While the first worship, listen to that please, everybody. While the first worship requires the use of many different instruments of music, the holy and genuine one requires just one sort of instrument. In heaven, in this worship service in heaven, John has seen just one kind of instrument. When we go back to the worship at the dedication of the golden image erected by whom? Nebuchadnezzar. How many kinds of instrument? Six. How many do we see here in heaven? One. There cannot be a bedlam of a carnivalesque king of music. No drum. No electric guitar. No piano, etc., sounding together, mixed with singers shouting like in a concert given by Jay-Z, Lady Gaga, Miley Cyrus, Elton John, Rihanna, Snoop Dogg, or else. This kind of celestial music, as Sister White puts it, is characterized by calmness and dignity. Better, the saved songs that beautiful song harmoniously and in one voice. All together, one voice, sung at the voice of many waters. Even that they, a big multitude, but in one voice and harp. Voice, harp. The voice of a great multitude and also one type of instrument, harps. They did not use many different instruments together. That's confusion. That's Babylonish. And they sung, verse 3, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. We all already know that in the Bible, woman has a double symbolism. If it is a harlot or an adulterous woman, then she symbolizes an apostate church, breaking her legal relationship with her husband. And if it is a virgin, she symbolizes a pure church, staying in the legal covenant relationship with her husband. Now we have before us women, meaning many harlots. These harlots are the daughters of Babylon, those that came out of her womb in that inherit her teachings, her doctrines, her lies, and that got into another covenant relationship with their mom in what is called ecumenism. The most dangerous teachings of Babylon, inherited by her daughters, are the immortality natural of the soul and Sunday sacredness. All Protestant churches have this legacy from their mother, the Catholic Church. Soon the whole religions of the earth will accept Sunday sacredness as they have already accepted the other lie, which is immortality, natural of the soul. The true children of God, his true followers, do not accept these lies and do not practice them. I want you to notice something that you may have never heard. Let's go to Revelation 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Who do you think the prophet is talking about here? He said, right, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord henceforth. He is referring to those who died from the time of the proclamation of the three angels' messages. How do I know? I just look at the context clue. What is it? Verses 6 and 7. The first angel's message. Verse 8, the second angel's message. Verses 9 to 12, the third angel's message. At the conclusion of these messages, the angel provides a description of those who will be among the 144,000. Verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And then you have those who died in the message of the three angels. These people will be part of the special resurrection. They will get resurrected before Jesus comes. Revelation 18 verse 20 says something. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. This will be part of the worship service rendered to the glory of the Lord God. In chapter 19, we read in verse 3, and again they say, "Hallelujah," and her smoke rose up forever and ever, ever. This adoration will last 1,000 years, starting from the second coming to after the millennium in heaven. Verse 4 gives us a clue of some attendees who will be part of this adoration. I need you to follow me closely here now, please. Verse 4 gives us a clue of some attendees who will be part of this adoration. It says, and the four, Revelation 19. Let's go to Revelation 19. Let me see if I'm not mistaken. Okay. It says what? Are you with me? All right. Verse 4 says, and the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Verse 5, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Verse 6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. So, let me say something. Who are the 24 elders? Can somebody tell me? Who are the 24 elders? Possibly. Thank you. Somebody else? Even though I'm preaching, but I need somebody to tell me more. Who are the 24 elders? Who are they? Yes, sister. Okay, many come up with all kinds of suppositions, while others state we do not know. For sure, we do not know their name, but I can assure you they are humans. The 24 elders are humans, and are among those who got resurrected when Jesus gave his last breath. Who do you know, my brethren, have been translated to heaven? Give me the name of three persons that have been translated to heaven. The first one is Enoch. The second one is Moses. The third one is Elijah. So if I say these 24 elders are humans, so where they come from? Who are they? Are you lying, preacher? Okay, we will see. You will remember, let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, verses 51 to 53. Matthew 27, verses 51 to 53. I need to finish, but I have something to show. Oh, God. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top up to the bottom. That is at the death of Jesus Christ. Are you following? And went, And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Verse 52. And the graves were open. And what will we see? And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Verse 53. And came out of the graves after his resurrection. So many people who died got resurrected. These were those who went across Jerusalem to say that Jesus was resurrected, and it was him who resurrected them. And these people were those who Jesus rose to, translated to heaven with, and we will read that. So, Let's read. I'm trying to go fast. Let's read Ephesians 4, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 4, verses 8 and 9. It says, are you there? If you're not there, allow me to read for you. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, talking about Jesus Christ, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower part of the earth? When Jesus went into the earth, don't forget that there was a quake. The tombs were opened. Body of the saints got resurrected. And they got across Jerusalem. These were people that Jesus went to heaven with. And that the Bible says, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He led captivity captive, and those who got resurrected went up with him and gave gift unto men. It is the gift of eternal joy, happiness, etc., in the heavenly courts that he gave to them. Now, let me try to go a little bit faster, but still in the same topic, and then we will close. The psalmist David has predicted that story when he said, thou hast ascended on high. In Psalm 68, verse 18, thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. So now let's go to Revelation 4, verses 4, 10, and 11. Revelation 4. Verses 4, 10, and 11. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. Verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and they were created. But what is the most interesting that will nail what I have told you to the head so that you can understand it? Let's read Revelation 5, verses 5 to 9. It is extremely interesting. You will see that it is not just the 24 elders who are humans, but also the four beasts. The four beasts of Revelation are human beings. The 24 elders are human beings. Let's read. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Verse 6. Revelation 5. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Verse 7. What does it say? And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou hast was slain and hast do what? And hast redeemed us to God, and by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Now my question, who do you think God has redeemed with his blood? Angels, animals, or other beings? Just us human beings. So, the four beasts and the 24 elders sitting on the throne around whom are the angels are human beings sitting with Jesus in heaven. Hallelujah! I'm telling you, this is not a joke for human beings to be in heaven like that, sitting on the throne, the four beasts, the 24 elders, human beings. How do I know? Let us read one more time in the song, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou was slain and hast redeemed us. The beast and the elders. To God by thy blood out of every kindred. There is no kindred elsewhere. Tongue, there is no tongue like elsewhere. And people and nation. So we don't have just Jesus as human being in heaven. We don't have just Enoch, Moses, and Elijah as human representative in heaven. We have a multitude one. The Bible says many. We just read it in Matthew 27. Many bodies of the saints arose, and Jesus took them as captive to heaven. So if they were saved, Sister White says, Jesus has taken a representative of every generation from the foundation of the world to the time of Jesus Christ. If they are saved and are in heaven, why should we not be saved and be in heaven with Jesus on the throne? We will inherit the kingdom with Jesus Christ. We will be kings and priests in heaven. My brothers and sisters, it is time to worship God in spirit and in truth. It is time to serve the Lord. It is time to love the Lord. It is time to do His will. Because soon, and very soon, He will come to take us up to go to heaven. I'm telling you, we will have beautiful thrones in heaven where we will live for 1,000 years. And if I were to count our ages, probably we will not exceed 1,000 years. Would we? I don't think so. Altogether. Add them up, it would not be 1,000. We will live 1,000 years in heaven. And we will live on earth. This is one of the texts that I got, but I'm not going to give it. I'm going to close right now. I'm praying that you and I will be ready for the second coming to behold him. I'm praying that my friends online, those who will be following online, will be ready. For the second coming of Christ is very nigh. If you want to consecrate your life to Christ, please stand up. Let me do a short prayer for you, so that you can be among those who will serve the Lord. who will live with him forever. Just stand up just for a little while, for a few seconds, so that I can pray for you if you want to consecrate your heart to Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we see that there is a big difference between the worship service given here on earth in many churches with the heavenly worship that many are part of, particularly the four beasts and the 24 elders. We understand that with those people in heaven, it is certain that if we work with you, we will be in heaven with you. Please bless your church, those that stand and who want to consecrate and know their lives to you. Give us salvation in Jesus Christ. Give us to behold him and to live with him forever and ever. This prayer I do in the name of Jesus. Amen.